From the WGXC newsroom, this is the Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news between Friday, April 21st through Sunday, April 23rd. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Purcell reported in the Register Star that on Saturday, April 22nd, Fairview Cinema 3 owner Bruce Mitchinson held a sale of items from the theater, which closed on March 19th after 44 years of business. Some came to the theater to browse the relics, while others turned out for one last visit as Mitchinson prepared to close the doors for good. Up for sale, a popcorn popper, old movie reels and projectors, lobby movie posters, marquee letters, velour ropes, and the doorman's ticket stub box. Mitchinson took ownership of the theater 18 years ago and ran three screens until 4 years ago, when movie theaters were mandated to go digital. He was able to purchase only one digital projector, reducing the theater to one screen. When negotiations over a new lease agreement reached an impasse, Mitchinson chose to shut down. Brian Nearing is reporting in the Times Union that a new oil spill report examines the legacy of petroleum giant ExxonMobil in New York. The report, released on Thursday, April 20th by the State Public Interest Group and Ithaca-based Toxics Targeting, found the company has been responsible for 3,500 oil spills statewide over the past several decades. Contamination from those leaks occurred in 58 of the state's 62 counties, and many have yet to be cleaned up to the state standards. Walter Hang, director of Toxics Targeting, said, and I quote, "The state might be trying, but this shows endless negotiations with Exxon that just drag on and on," end quote. Most spills were concentrated in metropolitan New York and Long Island, with other clusters in Syracuse, Rochester, and Buffalo. The Capital Region cluster includes several at a petroleum tank farm at the Port of Albany, now owned by Global Partners, a Massachusetts company that receives crude oil trains from the Bakken fields of North Dakota. A $28,000 gallon kerosene spill in 2011 at the Port of Albany has never been cleaned up to the state standards. Amelia Teasdale reported in the Columbia paper that the Belasia Village Board approved a $1.7 million budget for 2017-18 on Tuesday, April the 11th. The new spending plan requires no change in the tax rate. No comment was received during the board's public hearing on the proposal. Trustee Larry Ellaby said of the budget, and I quote, "I have no comment, but I like it," end quote. In the year ahead, the board is looking at additional repairs to the village wells and the addition of a new filtration system. Mayor Diane Argle said the village cannot take on any additional debt, so the board will be looking at state and federal governments to help fund the work. The new village budget is effective June the 1st. Josepha Velasquez and Bill Mahoney reported at Politico New York that the Cuomo administration is preparing to double the number of state licenses to grow and dispense medical marijuana to 10 over the next 2 years. The administration began interviewing additional medical marijuana growers in December as part of a broader plan to overhaul the floundering program. Companies contacted by the state for updated financial statements expect additional licenses to be issued this summer. 43 companies applied for a license to grow and sell marijuana in the spring of 2015, and the top five scorers were awarded manufacturing licenses and the right to have up to 4 dispensaries each. The Daily Freeman reported that state police are investigating what caused a vacant barn off U.S. Route 9 in Livingston to burn on Thursday, April the 20th. Police said the fire was considered suspicious. A passerby reported the fire at 12:10 a.m. The structure was fully engulfed in flames when Livingston firefighters arrived. Police are asking anyone with information about the fire or who might have driven through the area at the time of the blaze to call state police at 518-851-2972. Rosa Atkinson is reporting in the Daily Mail that State Attorney General Eric T. Schneiderman announced on Friday, April 21st, a settlement with 104 auto dealerships statewide who listed or sold vehicles with safety issues and subject to recall. The investigation into the auto dealerships began in 2015 following customer complaints. Included in the list was Hudson Valley Auto Sales Incorporated, located at 196 Fairview Avenue in Greenport. The AG said Hudson Valley sold a recalled vehicle, but owner Stephen Sponholz denied the charge. Sponholz said, and I quote, My particular situation was for a vehicle I never even sold, so I wasn't very happy, end quote. He said the vehicle in question was still on his lot, but the dealership was fined $1,000 because he failed to disclose in an ad that the vehicle was subject to recall. He said, and I quote, "I've sold thousands of cars. I've been doing this for 32 years, and this was the very first time I've ever had a problem. I was blown away by it," end quote. Other dealerships cited and fined within the Poughkeepsie region included Autos by Joseph in Milton, Rudge's Automotive in Rhinebeck, and Frank Sienna Auto Sales in New Hampton. Schneiderman said in a written statement, "The safety recalls uncovered were serious and potentially deadly," end quote. The Chatham Courier reported that the Mack Hayden Children's Theater has been awarded $1,000 by Stewards Shop Holiday Match. The funds will be used to support the group's musicals presented by the Professionals Theaters and to help offset the cost of free tickets for children of military personnel and veterans. This summer, the Mack Hayden Children's Theater will present The Trials of Alice in Wonderland, High Ho Robin Hood, and The Wizard of Oz. Finally, Bill Williams reported at 98.5 FM, The Cat, a new Little Free Library will hold its grand opening on Saturday, April 29th, beginning at 10:30 a.m. in the Greenport Tom Park on Jocelyn Boulevard. Unlike a traditional library, borrowers take a book and return a different one in its place. This helps keep the library inventory fresh. Even if a patron has no book to exchange, they are still encouraged to take one with them. The books are always free, never for sale. Little Free Library, a Hudson, Wisconsin-based nonprofit organization, is dedicated to inspiring the love of reading, building community, and sparking creativity by promoting neighborhood book exchanges around the world. The program provides 24/7 access to books in areas where books are scarce. According to the organization, there were 50,000 Little Free Libraries located worldwide as of November 2016. In addition to the new Greenport branch, other locations include Coeymans Hollow, East Chatham, Ravenna, Selkirk, and Volusia. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting patchy fog before 8 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a high near 66 degrees. For Monday night, a chance of rain mainly after 4 a.m. There will be increasing clouds and a temperature low of 44 degrees. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Tuesday, rain is likely, mainly after 8 a.m. It will be cloudy with a high near 53 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 48. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 67 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 54. Sunrise today was at 5:59 a.m., and the sun will set at 7:47 p.m. That will give us 13 hours and 48 minutes of daylight. 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review for today, Monday, the 24th day of April 2017. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.